Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We are WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
Hope you're having a good day. Tuesday, we got good stuff going on. Sometime between now and 10 o'clock, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to the Cedar Festival. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. A little bit later, we'll have some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, all that coming up for you. Right now, we're going to get into a little interactive conversation with our audience.
All right.
So we want you guys to feel free to call up 424-2600 and join this conversation about the best cities to visit if you are a beer lover. Now, we know that this list is going to have some good names on it, but I'm sure that there are some out there, some honorable mentions that you guys have out there.
Or local favorites.
Uh-huh. Yep, that's what I'm looking for here. That's what I want to know.
We want our Wisconsin cities.
Someone ranked the best cities for beer lovers to visit based on four categories: breweries per capita, bars per capita, beer prices, and how much hotels and Airbnbs cost.
Oh, that's a good factor.
It's a neat little sneaky factor.
Right,
in there.
If you're
like
traveling
that.
For this, then obviously
that's kind of cool.
Stay somewhere.
So we'll start at the bottom here.
Okay.
Number 10, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Okay.
I was too young to drink when I was in South Carolina, so I couldn't tell you, but I could say it was beautiful over there.
I've heard a lot of good things about Myrtle Beach.
It's beautiful. Just a beautiful part of the country. Tampa comes in number 9.
Okay.
It looks like, looking at this list, the only one of the only warmer weather cities. Let's see. Austin, Texas is number 8, certainly a warmer city. And I did drink a lot in Austin. I'll admit that. Yeah. Austin's a fun city. That's a fun time.
Did you try a lot of different beers, though?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I went because I was with some locals, and they kind of took me around and everything.
Okay.
And, oh, you got to check this place out. And it took me into easily the most honky-tonk bar I've ever been in my life. I've got a Michael Jordan, like, Bulls jersey on.
Oh, boy.
And like, downtown Austin, Texas and everything. And those people couldn't have been cooler to me.
Nice.
Those people could not have been nicer to me.
Awesome.
There was some teasing going on. There's some ribbing, but that, yeah, expect
well,
that.
You're going to have that.
Yeah, it was good.
You go in looking like a billboard.
Right, exactly. You know, I didn't exactly fit in. One of these things is not like the other. And it was fine. It was good. It was a good time.
Awesome.
Asheville, North Carolina. And it looks like South and North Carolina, the only kind of ones like that and on this list. But Asheville, beautiful area. Number 6, New York City. And New York, it ranked first in bar availability.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard there's about it. It's like bodega, bar, bodega. You know, a lot of that.
Bar options are wide and varied.
What I hear. Seattle, number 5. Kind of surprising.
I'm not surprised by that.
No.
I think that there's a lot of breweries out in that area.
Oh, yeah. Oh, see, I forgot about that factor.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 4, Denver.
Denver, Colorado.
Now, see, that one, I'm with you, because I have heard a lot of breweries around in the Denver area, and certainly know that they don't shy away from a little a drink here and there.
Nope.
Now's where the list gets really fun. Our top 3.
Okay.
And again, 424-2600. We'd love to hear from you guys about local places or what you think is the best city to go for a beer or just a good city. I mean, just even one that we haven't mentioned here on this list. Will not have to call up and tell us Milwaukee. One, we know that. And two, it is number 3 on the list.
All right.
It's the cheapest place to stay, and the beer prices are really good, too.
Yeah.
I love Milwaukee. I love that city.
Everybody that I have ever, like, visited with here in this state that have come from either the East Coast or the West Coast, and I sit with them at a bar and order some drinks, and they're like, oh, I'll get this round, and then they get their ticket and they're like, wait, I got everybody's drinks, right? You're all on here, correct?
Because
they just cannot, they're blown away by the prices.
And it's, I've never had a bad time in that city. I've always enjoyed myself. It's a fun city. I'm a city kid, so I mean, you know, teach their own and stuff. But there's a lot about Milwaukee to like, I think. I think that there's a lot more to like than not like about Milwaukee, by far and away. Number 2 on the list, Portland, Oregon.
All right.
That's kind of interesting, but as you were talking about before, the brewery
there's
part.
There's a lot of breweries out there.
Seems to be playing a big factor on this list.
Yeah.
Like the amount of breweries.
Mm-hmm.
And number one on the list, I was kind of surprised by this one, to be honest with you, because I didn't know if it was even going to make the top 10. Chicago.
All right.
It did well across all four categories. Mm-hmm. So kind of averaged wise up, it put it into the top spot there.
Okay.
So I think that's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I also find it even more interesting when you can get like actual feedback on something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because to me, we're talking about a subject that is you know, it's fun to see a survey on and everything. But what I really want is the local, you know, touch.
Yeah,
I want to know what you guys think. Like, I would think that somebody would mention Stevens Point. I think that as far as breweries, you know, with up there and the amount of bar per capita, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Personally mention La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Oh, right on.
Because
yes.
they have some of the bigger breweries there, but they also have like Turtle Brewery or Turtle Brewing. I don't remember which way it's called, but that's just a cute little brewery, and they're right on the Mississippi River. They've got a nice little hotel district right down there, so everything's within walking distance. Even you can go to all these different breweries and try out. I like doing flights at breweries, especially because you get to try, you know, four different beers, and it's the size of one beer.
Oh, yeah, I do like doing that, too.
Because mm-hmm. Then you get to try a bunch of different kinds.
That's a great reference. I was just caught up in my head. It's been way too long since I've been out in that area. I love that La Crosse area over there.
Yeah, the Cooley region, it's pretty. Yeah. There's a lot of pretty scenery to see. The drinks are cheap. There's plenty of hotels and options for staying.
I know that up north, I've run into a couple of great places, areas, and Sheboygan. Now, I'm only saying that because I wanted to say Sheboygan.
Did you like to say Sheboygan? Yes. I knew that.
But am I wrong? Because I could name any Wisconsin city, and I'm not saying that like every Wisconsin city's got a, you know, alcohol situation or something like that. I'm saying that as a compliment. I genuinely mean that as more of a compliment.
I kind of do.
I think you could almost mention any city, and you'd have a point to be made.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of you know, microbreweries that have popped up that, and I know people do their own brewing. For a short period of time, I went to like a brew club, beer brewing club, and they would just meet once, I don't know if it was once a week or once every 2 weeks, and you'd cook up a batch of beer, and then you'd bottle it, and then they just put it down in their basement to go ahead and do the fermentation process, and then the next time you meet, you get to try the beer from the previous time.
Nice. I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Fun. It was interesting.
Have you ever had any interest in making your own beer?
I have. I've thought about it. I was more interested in wine initially, but then I went to that brew party, and beer does not take very long to go through the fermentation process.
I thought I heard that.
Whereas wine takes a much longer time. So it's much quicker to make beer than it is to make wine.
Wine really makes you earn it.
Yes. Oh, you got to work for it.
Yeah.
And the two times that I did try to make wine, I was sadly disappointed with the results. It was a lot of work, and it didn't turn out well. So there's definitely an art to it.
I could hear it in your voice. I could hear it in your voice like, oh, you were very disappointed by that.
I was.
Not cool. Wine, come on. Something that is awfully cool is something we've been able to talk about the last couple of days, the Cedar Project, which is a fantastic group of people and doing some really cool stuff. Melissa, would you mind telling us a little about that?
Sure. The Cedar Festival is happening this weekend, Friday the 16th and Saturday the 17th in Little Chute. The Weekend of Music is hosted by the Cedars Project. This is a co-op that focuses on connecting community members with artists and local businesses in order to help one another grow and build sustainable projects. They put everything back into the community. It takes place in Little Chute on the hillside overlooking Doyle Park and the Fox River. They've got tickets available, but we've got some to give away here.
Yeah.
They are doing such awesome things in their community, and they're keeping it local. They're keeping it within their community to help enrich artists and enrich businesses and build their community.
And they've got a great festival coming up Friday and Saturday, September 16th and 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh on the Fly. It's a new food truck in town.
I love the name of that.
It's a great name. They're going to be making pizzas using ingredients from their garden. And
nice.
Derby Laundry Brewing is sponsoring a section of beers. But people can also bring their own beer.
That's awesome.
So it sounds like over there is going to be a pretty good city that could have made this list as well.
Mm-hmm.
They recommend that you bring a lawn chair or a blanket to sit on. If it rains, the festival will be moved to the pavilion in Doyle Park. You can get your tickets and find out more at thecedarsproject.com. That's all one word, thecedarsproject.com. But how would you like to go for free?
Yeah.
How does that sound, everybody? Well, call up 424-2600, and as long as you haven't won anything in 30 days, we will give you these tickets. Call up 424-2600. Win yourself two tickets to the fantastic Cedar Festival coming up September 16th and 17th. Melissa and I will take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 919 on the clock. Melissa and James here with you, sending a shout out to Ruth, who won herself a couple of tickets to the Cedar Festival.
Yeah, congrats, Ruth.
Way to be, Ruth, and we appreciate everybody that called in. We got a swarm of calls to try to get those tickets. Be listening tomorrow. We'll give another set away.
Nice.
And you can find out more and get your own tickets right now at thecedarsproject.com. Again, that's thecedarsproject.com. So we have some That Ain't Right stories we have to get to.
Oh, boy.
And this one may not seem like a That Ain't Right story, but I kind of feel like it is.
Okay.
We'll get to that actually when we have a little more. Now, let's dive into it. So what would you say is the most painful type of sting or bug bite you've ever had?
Ooh.
A new poll found the most common answers.
Okay.
Is there anything that pops up in your head?
I don't know. Wasps are pretty nasty.
Yep. Yep, that's what I was thinking of. Hornets, wasps. Yeah. That's probably the worst I've had, probably. And like multiple ones, not just one, but like multiple ones before and stuff. So the most common answer is the sting from a hornet, but wasp was a close second.
Okay.
98% of people who have been stung by a hornet say it was painful, including 61% who say it was very painful. The rest of the top five are, we'll get to those in a second. They also looked at every type of bug or critter you can think of and asked if people have been stung or bitten by one before.
Okay.
So we'll get into that. So first up, the top five most painful stings: wasps, yellow jackets, fire ants, and jellyfish.
Ooh, yeah.
I have been bitten by fire ants before.
Have you?
That is bad. It's not as bad as the wasp or anything, but it is bad.
Uh huh. Yeah, they're not great. I don't know if they were fire ants or not, but my brother and I, we used to have ant battles because on the hillside behind my dad's house, they would, you know, we hit these big ant nest, and by big I mean like they were probably like some of them were as big as like 3 feet across in, you know, diameter.
Yeah.
And so we would scoop up some red ants from one hill and go dump them on a black ant hill, and we'd scoop up black ones and
dump
them on the red ant hill, and then we'd watch the ensuing battle.
You guys are insane.
Yeah.
Like, no.
No, we're just kind of cruel and mean. But the red ants always won. No matter. Mm. No matter what. No matter if we dumped them on the... they always won.
Good to know. You know, I'm ever recruiting. the red ants is where to go. Okay. So looking at this list of people, when they asked people to look at every type of bug or critter you can think of and asked if they had been stung or bitten by them one before when they surveyed people, these were the results. When they asked about a stingray, only 4% of people said that they had been stung by a stingray.
Okay.
This is a little surprising to me. Snake, number 14 on the list, just 6% of people said that they had bitten by a snake.
Okay.
I would think that'd be a lot higher, but it kind of tells you a little
bit
there.
There's a lot of snake varieties that don't bite humans or don't bother humans.
Yeah.
So I would think that as long as you're not pestering them.
Jellyfish, 15% of people have been stung by one of them.
Yeah, that seems a little more common just because if you're in the water and they're in the water, they're not going to avoid you.
It does. I mean, I kind of thought that would be a lot higher because I've known a couple of people that have been stung by jellyfish. Deer fly, number 12 on the list, 17%.
Deer fly.
That's a good one. Man, I hate those.
Why didn't I think of those? Or those little black flies.
Yeah,
those are worse even because they're quicker. At least a deer fly, you have a pretty good chance of getting it.
Yeah, they're a little slower. Yeah, yeah. Bed bugs, number 11 on the list. 21% of people have been bitten by bed bugs.
Blech.
Yeah, it's a bad one. That's a bad one.
Yeah, they're hard to eradicate.
Lice, 23% of people have had that one.
Mm-hmm.
My mother growing up, I don't know what happened. Like, I believe if I remember the story right, when she was in grade school, there was a girl who got lice, mm-hmm. and like almost every girl in the class got it.
Yeah.
And she just had to think about this. So my brother, my sister, myself, like we were checked all the time for that stuff. Like mm-hmm. never had lice, never had it.
No.
Don't know, but I know every person that I know that have had it, like they talk about it like they were doing time almost. Like it
Well, it is because easy. You have to constantly wash your bedding and constantly clean, and you're constantly checking, or you're pulling out nits, or I mean, it is a huge battle.
I know whenever it happened at the hotels I worked at, they shut down the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't just one room they would shut down. Like they would shut down the floor more places than not.
Yeah,
they don't mess around with those.
Mm-mm.
Number 9 on the list: hornets. 30% of people say that one is a bad sting.
Yeah, it is.
Number 8 on the list, tick. 39% of people have been affected.
Been bitten by a tick. Yeah, which is a pretty... I don't know if this was a nationwide study, but here in Wisconsin, I would think that the majority of people have experienced being bitten by a tick.
Yeah, in Wisconsin, I feel like you could flip that. Not 93% of people would have been bitten by a tick, or at least have found a tick on them or somebody you know. I would think that it's almost impossible to think of if you go as far as like a 3 or 6 degrees of separation.
Mm.
At the very least, you know somebody who has had a tick on them, or you've
or
gotten a tick. Or pet, yes, yeah.
Well, you know, there's the concern of tick-borne illnesses, which are you know, Lyme's disease is nothing to laugh at.
No.
It's so it's important to check yourself over when you come out of the woods.
I was a kid when I felt that, when I had a tick on me. It's the one time that I've had one on me. I don't remember it hurting. I don't remember it stinging or anything like that. I think that's part of the scariness about ticks is that
you don't notice them.
Yeah, yeah. I almost wish that you would feel a sting mm-hmm. or something, because then you'd be like, what the? Oh, tick.
Right, like a mosquito. But you don't. They have a numbing agent in their saliva that allows them to attach to you without you noticing. So
nasty.
The way you feel them is by feeling them.
Nasty.
My mom checked us over every night when we come in from the woods and pull ticks off of us just so that, you know, you're not getting them too attached.
Hate ticks. Hate them. Lyme's disease.
Yeah.
You know? Number 7 on the list, yellow jackets. 40% for that one. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people been affected by those.
Oh, I wish I'd have thought of this one. Number 6 on the list, horsefly.
Mm-hmm.
That is a wicked sting. That is wicked. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 42% of people have...
it's pretty common.
Yeah. Fire ant, number 5 on the list, 46%.
Mm-hmm.
Flea, number 4 on the list with 51%. I hadn't thought of that one.
Yeah, that's pretty common.
Yeah. I didn't think of fleas. Yeah.
Well, because even if it's not a house that's infested with fleas, you can get bitten just walking through somebody's yard or long grass.
Right.
I mean, you can. They live out in the wild.
And number 3 on the list, wasp. 52% of people said that one.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, a bee. 75% of people have been stung by a bee. Man, the people that have never been stung by any of these, like, what are you doing? Are you just walking around with 4-leaf clovers all day? Like, what is
or,
it?
Or they're the super dodger.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, serpentine. And number 1 on the list, mosquito, 91%.
I was going to say, that has to be pretty far up there.
How could only 91% of people answer that they have been, like, how could you have not been bitten by a mosquito if you are over the age of 10? Like,
I mean, mosquitoes are pretty prevalent. But a lot of places do treat for mosquitoes now to try to knock back the population. I think with the rise of West Nile virus awareness and that people trying to control mosquito populations more, it's possible that they haven't. Or they were, you know, asking people who were age 5 and younger. It's part of the survey. Yeah, yeah.
But that's that makes perfect sense to me, but I have not heard that. That's interesting. It does make sense.
Yeah.
I have not even heard of that before, and I don't even know how you would begin to go around doing something like that. I kind of want to look into that a little bit.
It's mosquito foggers. They usually treat for them with a fog and to try to. And then a lot of people who live out in the country know you don't want standing water. Still, standing water is the perfect breeding ground for mosquitoes. So you just need to not have it.
I know they still exist. I just can't remember the last time I saw one. Remember how popular for a long stretch there bug zappers were?
Oh, that looked like little tennis rackets?
Like everybody yes. had, like they were like handed out to every like suburban family. Like they, everybody had some type
of
bug
zapper. Camping, everybody's got those. Do you remember, or have you seen the little salt shooters?
No.
No, it's like a little gun, little pellet gun, and you fill it with salt. Huh. And you can shoot flies and mosquitoes, and it's powerful enough to actually knock them out of the air and, you know, kill them. And it's, huh. they're kind of fun. My brother has one.
Okay. Huh. Yeah. I got to try that. Uh-huh. I have to try that. That
because
sounds
it
awesome.
Combines, you know, like video game-esque
yes.
getting mosquitoes or flies out of your house. Or I mean, you get a little salt on the floor, but...
I feel rude because I was listening to you, but as soon as you started describing this, all I could think was Duck Hunt.
Yep.
And I saw the dog popping up and everything. Like, oh, man, I got to try this.
Just a smaller target.
Yeah, I like it. I dig that. I got to try one of those. We'll take a commercial break, play Melissa's news for you. We'll come back. And again, we got a couple of Danny Wright stories, some good stories of the day, plenty more to cover. It's Mornings with WFHR. Welcome back, y'all. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Melissa and James here with you. Hope you're having a good day out there, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. I got these new glasses, Melissa.
I noticed them. I like them a lot.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. I got a pair, and they were great. I liked them. They fit really good, but they made me feel a little cross-eyed. Like they made me kind of like center okay. in a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
So the company, I'll just say it. They're not paying us, but Zenni or
okay.
Zenni? Zenni.
Yep.
Zenni. Went to them. They, I told them this about the other pair of glasses,
mm-hmm.
and they refunded me and let me keep the glasses. Now, I don't know if they nice. Do that for everybody, and it doesn't do them a whole lot of good. It is my prescription.
Right. Sending them back isn't
still,
good.
Though, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I got these. I have never enjoyed a pair of glasses more. I barely feel them wear. I normally don't like wearing glasses.
Uh-huh.
I usually wear them if I've got a nicked in the eye or something like that.
Right.
Which is what I was doing last week. Now, I'm really enjoying these, and they don't hit the mic.
Nice.
Like I noticed that, like the other ones, I hit the mic every once in a while, like that stuff. So I mean, that should be a little bit better going forward.
Nice.
This story is that's a good story. This is a that ain't right story. If there ever was a that ain't right story, I just don't know how this could happen outside of a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Okay.
A 31-year-old man in Texas was arrested on outstanding warrants early Sunday morning when he was found with a single gunshot wound to his buttocks.
What?
And who shot him, of course.
Right.
Well, you know, if we're doing this story, it's probably, well, you guessed it, himself.
He did it.
Yeah, he did it to himself.
On purpose?
He shot himself in the butt.
How? How does one do that?
According to witnesses, the man had been firing shots into the air and accidentally shot himself. It's unclear if he was tagged by one of the bullets that was coming back down or if he somehow shot himself directly.
Well, I would think that there'd be quite a bit difference with the damage.
He will survive. He was treated at the hospital and is in stable condition. It's also unclear what the warrants were for, but he will be facing additional gun charges no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He'll be facing gun charges, I should say, whether they are additional or not with his other, fleet of great stuff he has.
Yeah. Do you get charged for shooting yourself in the butt?
I mean, isn't it punishment enough? No, you probably should be.
Self-inflicted wound.
Yeah. I genuinely don't know how you would even go about doing this if you were trying to. Like,
it's
if
all
you were,
about intent.
If you were ever like you have to have a mirror up or something like that to like get that right. Like, oof. Now keep this. I should journalistically I should add I have a very tiny butt. It barely exists. So I may not be the best case in this one. It would be very difficult for me to find it to actually shoot it. So I don't know if that would even happen. But for some this might be easier. Maybe I don't know.
Oh, wow.
You could try 100 times and not pull this off. Like the fact that
and if it tagged him on its way down from the sky, what was he doing?
Yeah,
like was he bending over to
I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but I've got plenty of friends from Texas, and you guys know who you are. You know who you are. The majority of you guys know who you are. This isn't a shocking story coming out of Texas that a man would be shooting bullets up into the air if Yosemite Sam has taught us anything. No, I'm not saying that. I've actually never even heard of that in Texas. I know a lot of Texans. I've never heard of them doing that kind of thing. I think this is just a knucklehead who was acting out. And he got this is karma. Yep. This is karma, baby.
Came right back at him.
You can think all you want that shooting a bullet into the sky is innocent. I can't think of, there are plenty of dangerous things you can do in life, especially with a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you are using a firearm, it is a dangerous situation.
Yeah.
I don't care if you...
Bullets travel at lethal speeds.
If you are in gun safety class and you are practicing shooting a gun, it is still a dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no situation. I'm telling you.
Because what goes up must come down.
Well, and for everybody out there that worries and cries about losing their firearms or any of these things, I don't begrudge you that. I just ask how many of them have ever actually had a gun pointed at them. If all you've ever known of guns is hunting, I don't begrudge you that. Obviously, that's a good thing. I'm happy to hear that for you. But I will say, I just ask you to have a little bit of perspective and maybe talk to some people that actually know what it is like to have one pointed at you. Because the majority of my life, that is what I'm used to. I have experienced more of that than ever experienced pointing a gun at somebody or at an animal or even.
Or a target or what have you.
I think that's important. Just as important as I think that the amendment is in itself. I don't think that the amendment is a bad amendment. I think that what we have done to it is a little different too. And companies. Greedy companies trying to make more and more money. I'm not talking about the collector or the person that wants to. That's a different case-by-case situation. But these businesses, they're making a product that lasts. And what do you do when that happens? If I already have a 45, I don't need another 45. So what do I got to do if I'm a company? I'm going to make these bigger and better and all that. And I'm faster and shoot off more bullets and everything.
Right.
For what end? For what end?
Just for them to make money.
The bad guys got them, so we got to have them. How'd the bad guys get them?
Yeah, good question.
Because we created them. Like, I mean, it's... Yeah.
Well, and it doesn't hurt to look at statistics. What is going on in not only our country, but across the world, and how we compare with other countries of those statistics.
I feel pretty safe in saying that most people are going to be smart enough not to be shooting the gun up in the air.
And managing to shoot their own butt.
But if you do, don't be surprised when karma catches you in the butt. Literally. Like, it can happen. We'll take a break. We'll come back with some good stories and plenty more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR. Locally grown radio. Hope you're having a good start to your Tuesday out there, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Going to keep coasting along here, take it to the top of the hour. Want to remind everybody that coming up at 10:05 today, we will have Morning Magazine kicking off for the week. We welcome our first guest from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, Katie Wright.
Ooh.
Talk about some of the great events going on in our area here in the next month or so with our chamber.
Nice.
And in part two, one of our favorite segments every month, Let's Talk Real Estate with our friends at Coldwell Banker Steer Realtors featuring J.R. Siebert.
J.R.
And J.R.'s bringing in some friends. We're going to have Kim Nicholas and David Farnborough joining us.
Oh, perfect.
There's a United Way initiative that we want to talk about with them. And of course, we'll get an update on the local market and everything from J.R.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best in the industry. Personally, the one guy, the company I'll go to every time.
Yeah.
I appreciate those guys very much. So all that coming up, a quick reminder that Over the Back Fence, of course, has been moved. It is now on Saturdays from 11 to noon, leading right into the greatest polka show of all time, the Sunshine Polka Show featuring Tim Humble.
Nice.
And Native Roots right after that. I've heard such good things about that Native Roots show.
Oh, good. I haven't gotten a chance to catch it yet.
It's interesting. It's a fun show.
Nice.
I dig it. I like it. And I'm very happy about the success we've already had with Over the Back Fence and been hearing from people about Over the Back Fence.
Mm-hmm.
People are enjoying it being there already.
Good.
And it just started this past Saturday.
Nice.
So get all your feeling, all the stuff, items, collected throughout the week here that you want to sell or looking for, or get us your mailbag items. still the same old, same old. You know, it's still over the back fence right. like you've always known.
But you
known
just
and
got
loved.
A whole week to prepare for it.
Yes. Yeah.
Get your items together, get them ready to go.
Be sure to join Seth this Saturday. The next Saturday, I'll be doing that one.
All right.
So we're looking forward to this. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought this was kind of an interesting article, Melissa. I don't know how fascinated or anything anybody else will be, but giant sharks once roamed the seas, feasting on huge meals. And when I say giant sharks, hear me out on this one. Today's sharks have nothing on their ancient cousins. A giant shark that roamed the oceans millions of years ago could have devoured a creature the size of a killer whale in just 5 bites.
Whoa.
For their study published last Wednesday, researchers used fossil evidence to create a 3D model of the megalodon, one of the biggest predator fish of all time, and find clues about its life. We still don't know much about these animals.
Yeah.
At around 50 feet, 16 meters from nose to tail, the megalodon was bigger than a school bus.
Whoa.
According to the study in the Journal of Science Advances, that's about 2 to 3 times the size of today's great white shark.
Oh, my.
The megalodon's gaping jaw allowed it to feed on other big creatures. Once it filled its massive stomach, it could roam the ocean for months at a time without needing to eat.
Only time you want to run into them is when they're not hungry.
Yeah, yeah. You catch them after lunch.
Fortunately, is a long span of time.
Yes. But you catch them after lunch, not so bad. Not as moody, you know. The megalodon was a strong swimmer, too. Its average cruising speed was faster than sharks today. And it could have migrated across multiple oceans with ease as they calculated.
Wow.
Dear God. Like, these have always been a very intimidating animal. Mm-hmm. But the more data we're learning, the more we're realizing, like, it would have been us or them. And I don't know how that ends. I don't know how that goes.
Fortunately, they couldn't leave the water.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that would have saved you.
I mean, if that's floating in today's oceans, do we scuba dive? Yeah, I mean.
Heck no.
I don't know if we're as free in the water as we are. Of course, you know.
You need a big submarine.
I mean, when we talk about predators in our ecosystem, according to these authors, it would be a super predator just dominating its ecosystem.
Yeah.
To the point where anything it fed on probably wouldn't be around today.
Mm. Right, because they would have just ate it out of existence.
Yeah, it's been tough for scientists to get a clear picture of the megalodon since a study author, Catalina Pimento, a paleobiologist with the University of Zurich, with the University of Zurich. The skeleton is made of soft cartilage that doesn't fossilize well, Pimento said. So the scientists used what few fossils there are available, including a rare collection of vertebrae that's been at a Belgian museum since 1860. I hadn't really thought about that before, but, you know, obviously with all the dinosaurs and everything, they're on land, so finding their fossils not as hard.
Right. Something in water, that's a little different.
A little tougher.
Yeah.
Especially something like this that when it died, it would have sank.
Right.
I mean, like, nothing has ever sank in human history.
That size.
So where it's laying in the ocean, maybe spots of the ocean we've never been to.
There's so much of the ocean we haven't.
Fascinating.
Explored. Yeah.
I can't get my mind around that. It's amazing to me. That's pretty cool. I don't know. If you want to read more about it, the AP has a great news article on it. And go to AP News and find that. This next story is strictly for me. If you guys like it, that's cool and all, but I don't care. No, I'm joking. I'm kidding, obviously. I am a little biased when it comes to penguins and everything, so whenever I'm doing a story on them, I feel like...
It's just for you, James.
But I think this is a good story. I think this is a really good story, whether
and
you like penguins
like
or not.
Other people like penguins.
But yeah, they're a pretty popular animal. Yeah, it's not like I'm like the one and only person. 50 years worth of conserving the tern and puffin populations in Maine has created a stable colony of thousands of breeding birds.
Nice.
Located on Petit Manan and other small islands off the coast, the birds have absorbed the worst climate change during the 2000s and are returning just as before to large numbers of breeding pairs and fledgling chicks.
Wow.
Even the wildest gambler wouldn't have put a penny on the Atlantic puffins of Maine making it out of the 20th century alive. After they were hunted down in just two birds by 1902.
Wow. Down to two birds.
huddled on the Manticus Rock, the remotest spit of land in what today is the Maine Coastal Islands National Wildlife Refuge, an Audubon Society member began bringing down puffin chicks from Newfoundland in 1972 to try to and recreate their breeding booms that would cover every square inch of rock in squawking chicks a century earlier.
Hmm.
Today, there are more than 1,300 pairs of puffins across central islands, mostly on Eastern Egg Rock, Seal Island, and Manticus Rock. The project was the first one in history that restored a seabird to an offshore island where it had been expired by humans.
Wow. That's impressive.
One more time. The project was the first one in history that restored a seabird on the shoreline that had been expired by humans.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that I've heard over my lifetime that say, this stuff never works. Why do we do these things? It is impossible. You got to have patience.
Yep.
You got to be able to see the thing.
And you got
to
work hard.
Picture here. Yeah, it isn't easy to do, but we have proof that we don't have to lose any animal.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say any. We have proof that there's many, many animals we do not have to lose.
Right.
There's more evidence than not that we can hang on to these things.
And there are things that we can do to help bring their populations back, because guess what? We've ruined their habitats. It's our fault.
This is on us.
Yeah.
This is on our hands. I would think that it's not a controversial thing to say that, and to say that we should own this and do something about it. I think that people, especially in this day and age, that, you know, with as much time that has passed since the dodo was on the earth and everything, we've kind of just, we use it as this light thing, and there's this stereotype about the bird that it was a dumb bird and that's why it didn't evolve or something. No, it didn't evolve because of us. It didn't evolve because of human beings. It wasn't a dumb bird. It was actually an incredibly intelligent animal.
Mm-hmm.
Very intelligent and very, like, sweet animal. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, too sweet.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Too trusting.
Yeah.
Now, are all extinction things that go extinct, are they all because of the fault of humans? No, not necessarily.
Not by any means.
But are we responsible for some of it? Yes.
Yeah. And even the stuff that we are not responsible for, it's on us to do something about.
Yeah.
The food chain's important, people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I need to explain. I feel like one of the most ridiculous things I've ever said on the air to say that. I would think that everybody out there listening would understand that. But
you like to eat? I like to eat.
Yeah, yeah. Good news stories of the day here. Continuing with that, a doctor in India was on his way to a gallbladder surgery when he got stuck in traffic. So he ditched his car and ran the last 2 miles to get there on time.
Oh, wow.
Got a little exercise in and did
That's dedication.
Did a great thing there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. A kid named Jacob Walker was born with a rare form of dwarfism, and doctors didn't expect him to live past 5. But now he's 12. And he likes to post videos of himself dancing to encourage other people to keep going.
Aw, that's sweet.
Telling you, the kids like that, they're game changers, man. Every single one of them. They probably won't, unfortunately, live long enough to know the impact they make, but they make one.
Mm-hmm.
My Bria's mom, her sister, Laura, was born with a hole in her heart. And I remember when I first met Laura, when I was in high school and everything, they did not know how long she'd have, but I never, to this day, have met few people that can match her spirit and her soul.
Mm.
And I'm so happy to say that that woman is still bopping around, doing her thing and enjoying life and living life. And I guarantee that everybody that knows Laura is better off knowing her and for it. Like, these stories are always so significant to me. I have not been around a lot of that in my life. And when I hear of them, I'm just blown away by it. I have no idea what it is like to live in those shoes. Mm. I have no comp to something like that.
Yeah.
I know where I grew up, the age expectancy was very young, but that was a lot different.
That's
a two very different worlds.
That doesn't have to do with something threatening your life.
Speaking of kids, a 10-year-old kid in Toronto recently set up a table and cooler to sell scones to people so he could save up for an Xbox. But then he left to go to the bathroom and someone stole his stuff.
Aww.
The story has a happy ending. After a TV station in Toronto did a story on it, he got bombarded with donations, including the Xbox he wanted.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And the people that stole, like, from a kid's scone table.
Not cool.
I don't care if you whether you believe in heaven or hell or not. Like, there's certain things in life that, like, direct ticket.
Like, or at least karma.
Karma going to catch you on that one. Like, there's no way.
Not cool.
You can't. There's no way you can convince me that karma is not going to catch up to that person. No way. Nope. That's a great way for that story to end. A bunch of dog owners in England broke a world record for most dogs at an outdoor movie screening with 127 of them. And what movie were they watching, Melissa?
All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Oh, good guess. Oh, 101 Dalmatians.
Oh.
But good guess by you. That was good. I like that. That was a good one. I would have also accepted Old Yeller or a couple of... Why would you play Old Yeller? Oh.
The Incredible Journey.
The Incredible... Yeah, that's a much better option. Yes, yes. What was I thinking with Old Yeller?
Well, it has a dog in it.
It does, but doesn't...
Not a good ending.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. Someone swimming in a river in Canada found a wedding ring that slipped off a guy's finger 17 years earlier.
Wow.
And they got it back to him just in time for his 20th anniversary.
That's crazy.
Life is stranger than fiction.
How do they find these rings? How do they know to get them back? They must have engravings in them.
Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that speaks to maybe it is a good idea to get your rings engraved and everything.
Yeah.
I've never really thought much about that, but...
Band, like, there's nothing to say this is so-and-so's ring.
Darn near every time we do these stories, I come to the end of it wondering how they matched the person. It's got to be something like that.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting... I'm not sure. A distance runner in New Zealand just ran a full marathon while dressed as a giant beer can. He says bars and event businesses have had a rough couple of years, so he wanted to pay tribute to them.
Aww.
I like that. That's a great...
That's awesome.
Well, we need to do that here. We need to have a little of that here.
It would be fun to have a marathon, or, you know, it wouldn't have to be a whole marathon, but maybe just like a small run down one of the streets in town with everybody dressed as giant beer cans.
Didn't we do the story a little bit ago about they had a record amount, like a world record amount of people in those T-Rex costumes?
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then like 50 of them ran at the same time or something.
That would just be hilarious.
Oh, I
come on, James, you want to get in the Guinness Book of World Records so bad.
Yep.
This is how.
This is it.
This is how. Wisconsin Rapids, everybody get a beer can outfit.
Yep. We're going to do this.
We're going to run down the street. Together.
We will break a Guinness record one day. I'm just not sure which one yet, but we're going to do it. We're going to do it. I like that idea. I got to get one of those T-Rex costumes. Those are great.
They are pretty funny.
We should have one of those days a week or days a month or something like that where we do something wacky on the air here. Mm-hmm. One of those old radio school traditions kind of things. We'll have to work on that. We'll think of something.
We'll brainstorm.
Another great good story of the day is local, and you can be a part of it. In fact, you can be an integral part of this good story of the day. Come out and support the Buckley Baldwin VFW Post 2534 by eating Culver's. So you get to be a good story of the day, and you get Culver's.
And you get good food.
This is too much of a win-win. There's got to be a catch. There is no catch. Our Culver's on 8th Street here in Wisconsin Rapids, and a good morning to them, are going to be donating 10% of all proceeds from their drive-through and dining in. It'll go to support the programs and operations of the Buckley Baldwin VFW Post 2534. VFW members will be door greeters from 4 to 8 each of the following each night, so September 13th, and then you might want to mark your calendars October 11th. So for both of those, please stop in, say hello, and support your local veterans of foreign wars.
So that's the catch. You got to go between 4 and 8 if you want to say hi to a vet.
There you go. And be sure to do that, everybody.
Yeah.
We appreciate you doing
awesome
that.
This is awesome of Culver's to do this with them, and we appreciate their service and their dedication to our community.
Be sure to join us tomorrow morning. Seth and Melissa will be in with us.
Yes.
Looking forward to that. It's going to be fun. And we'll be giving away more tickets to the Cedars Project. And you can find out more about that by going to their website, thecedarsproject.com. We'll have fun tomorrow. Stick around for that. You have a good morning, Melissa.
You too, James.
You guys be good to each other. Have a good morning. We'll talk to you soon and later right here on
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.